Alrighty, everyone, welcome back to the Learning to Fly podcast. Today's episode might be just a touch confusing because I, Madison, am interviewing Mads from the Neil Hilborn Writing Circle and many other creative spaces. So get ready, it's gonna be a fun one. And how are you today, my dear?
And how are you?
Doing well, doing well. I'm sorry it took so long to get this episode out into the world, but we're here now.
Oh, no worries. That's the world we live in. It's just a matter of pinning people down.
Exactly, exactly. So, I primarily know you from Writing Circle, which means that to some degree you're a poet. What are some other things that are in your creative wheelhouse?
Boy, I've done a little bit of everything, which I think is something you find with a lot of creative people.
Very true.
Yes. I've been trying to get back into doing more visual arts. When I was in school, I did a minor in fine arts, so that was really nice to get back into some of that. And then as well as poetry, I do write fiction as well. So with the past couple years slowing things down at times, it's given me a little bit more opportunity to plug away at some of that stuff that I'd kind of set on the back burner for a while.
I love that and can absolutely relate. Since
gotta find the benefit somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. Since we do mention Neil Circle, I do think it's a good question. Like, how did you find your way there?
Yeah, it was a bit of a fluke, honestly, but I'm really happy that it worked out that way. So I've been following Neil and like Button Authors poetry in general for a long time. And I had seen Neil in, I guess that was must have been 2018 when he was in Toronto. And then when the pandemic happened and he started doing up this writing circle, I did see like the early advertisements for some of the earlier seasons. And then completely forgot about it and moved on with my life for some reason. And then in November of last year, I think he shared on his Instagram or something the link for the newest season of Circle. And I was like, oh, right, that was the thing I wanted to do that I completely forgot about. And so I joined, and then I've been here every season since. And I'm really happy I found my way back to it.
I am really glad to hear that because I feel like a lot of people have a similar story. Or a lot of people keep saying, oh, I want to be there, and then they just never join. So let this be your reminder. You can join at any point. It doesn't have to be the beginning of the season. And also, there are lots of really cool people. So do the thing that you say you want to do, and you'll be better off for it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So do the thing. So I have to ask, like, since you mention it, who are some of your favorite Button poets?
Oh my, well, I'm going to see Rudy Francisco next week.
Where?
In Toronto.
Okay.
So Cam from Circle, we're going together to see him, so I'm really excited about that.
I'm super jealous. Please have fun. I'm super jealous.
I didn't even realize he was coming until Cam pointed it out. I was like, oh my gosh, for sure, I would love to go. Especially, I think, with it's been so long since people have been performing live.
Mm-hmm.
But Phil Kay as well.
Oh, yes.
And Michael Lee as well. think all of the Button poets are incredible, but those are some of my favorites.
You mentioned Phil K, and I'm actually going to be in Los Angeles at the end of the month, for a concert, and he's actually performing at the same venue the next day, and I'm like, I really need to find a way to get tickets to this. Like, it needs to happen.
Yeah, if you're
So
gonna be there, it's like serendipity, is
exactly.
that the word?
Exactly. And it's the same venue, same time, just the next day from my actual reason for being there. So like it needs to happen. Sharing that with the world. But yeah, no, I totally agree with you. The live events happening again is such a blessing, and I think in a way it's also a reminder to still do the thing. Like, just because you couldn't do it in the pandemic or it wasn't the same doesn't mean that those things mean any less to you or that they're any less accessible or things like that. So go see the shows, go meet the people, and safely enjoy your time again.
Exactly. Yeah, it's totally different seeing poetry live versus, I mean, live in the sense that the person's reading live, right? Like I've gone to a couple like Zoom shows where like even just having the person like reading live through a screen, if that makes sense,
Yes, yes.
is a very different and unique experience. And it's definitely made me miss being able to like go out and perform and everything. So I've been glad to have Circle and to have a space where, it's different to like sit in your room and write on a piece of paper, and then it's another thing to like actually get it to share with other people and get feedback and hear like that live response to different parts of the piece.
It was really interesting. Right before the pandemic started, there were advertisements about something called the Heavy Hitters Festival, which was run by Right Bloody Publishing, and it was going to be like musicians and poets and storytellers and things like that. The moment that the pandemic started, they switched it to online. Like, they just jumped with it and they ran with it. And I think that that was a really good example of how things changed, but it made that festival so much more intimate because there were three ways to view it. You could be in the Zoom room with people, you could be watching it online, or you could watch a recording. And each of those was such a different experience, even though it was all the same show. And now they're talking about doing the Heavy Hitters Festival in like Arizona or something for 2023. And I am so curious how that's going to differ, especially because they r ran with those punches the first time around.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see where people are keeping the like more hybrid approach versus when they're like transitioning fully back to in person. Because I think too, there's a benefit to the hybrid approach of like making the world a little smaller, I guess, if that makes sense. Like purely from a like accessibility travel standpoint, if there's like a huge festival somewhere on the other side of the world, it's a lot more expensive and time consuming to get there to be able to go and see it, versus like if you can still give the money to the small creators and support, but be able to do it from, your own bedroom where you're only logging on for a couple hours. I think that's something else that's really cool that I've been able to, do events that are in London or New York or something and be able to log on and see them, where like I wouldn't have been able to do that 2 or 3 years ago.
Definitely. I am 100% with you. In fact, thanks to the pandemic, I'm now teaching poetry to high school students in London. And I'm just like, I don't know how this would have happened without the pandemic. Like, there's no way that
Yeah, it's so fascinating to me, just to like, I'm big academic nerd, so like obviously,
happened.
having a pandemic isn't the great things, but like just to look at the way that it's like shifted our society like socially and like how we engage with each other and what the world's gonna look like moving forward is just wild to me, and like how short of a period of time that shift happened in, right? Like you were saying, like all of a sudden the world went from being in person to completely online, and it felt like in like the snap of fingers, you know?
So kind of speaking about that same big shift, but on a different topic, when you and I were putting this episode together, you were talking about how you're an advocate for, I want to get the exact wording right, for like different types of relationships. And I feel like almost to the same token of the pandemic and how we had that shift, we're also seeing a social shift in aromantic, asexual, the different countries call it different things, but basically the LGBTQ, all of that. Would you want to touch on that a bit?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's something that I also happened to find my way to through the pandemic. I think more in that the world forced me to slow down and like actually deal with things that I was like, I could just keep putting this on the back burner for a little bit longer.
I think you mentioned that in one of your poems, which I think is also what made me go, okay, now's a good time to bring that up, provided you're still willing to talk about it with us.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's important to talk about too, because I think like within the queer community, like the aromantic and asexual representation tends to fall on the back burner a little bit. And I know, like, at least for me, it would have been a big deal to like have heard more about it growing up, or like have known that was an option. Because I think for so many people, you kind of grow up and you have this idea of like, all right, I do school, then I do probably more school, and then I get a job, and then have a family, like get married, have kids, and this very like one track view of life. And I think for me, especially the like age that I am, a lot of people around me are like starting to get engaged or settle down or have kids. And it's been almost this like trajectory shift for me, and knowing that like what my life is going to look like 15 years down the line is going to be very different from what people's lives are looking like around me. And I don't have a problem with that, but it's also trying to have other people understand that, because I think I've found that there's a lot of people who see kind of this like hierarchy of relationship, you know, like it kind of goes romantic is above being friends with someone, that whole idea of like, oh, we're just friends or something. And like having friends that I lived with for years all of a sudden not spend as much time with me the second they get in a relationship, or kind of immediately become more focused or infatuated with this person that they're dating, and trying to like have that conversation with people that like, for me, friendships are really important, and like I want those connections to stay the same, and like I can still be in your life in certain ways, but it's tricky because you're kind of asking people to reprogram how they've been trained to think about the world. And so I think it's important to talk about, so like people think a little bit more too about like their friendships or the people that they have in their lives, and how what like works best for them, and how they can keep supporting people, and that you don't have to fit this like, you know, one monolithic idea of what your life is gonna look like.
And I think that it, not to take away from this conversation, but to even broaden it, I think that now that the pandemic has happened, we all kind of need to reevaluate those trajectories and those paths and the way that we communicate with people, because, and no, I'm not saying the pandemic is over, but as we kind of navigate our way out of it, those connections mean so much more, especially if they survived this time or if they were built in this time. We all kind of have to rethink how to maintain those and continue to put in the effort, regardless of what else is going around, be it another pandemic or other relationships or whatever life may throw at us, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, whenever things get difficult, it becomes really important to us to like take the time to focus on connection. I don't know if you had this experience, but I had these people I had not talked to for years. Whether or not I wanted to hear from them is another story. Just like come out of the woodworks in like the early months and like start reaching out to me and being like, hey, I was thinking about you, like how are you doing? And I think for a lot of people it was like a reminder maybe of some of the relationships in their lives that they like weren't cultivating, and like how important it was to have those things around you, both when like things are going well, but also when things are a bit difficult.
You know, I think it's interesting to hear that, because for me, the same thing happened, but about a year into the pandemic. And that kind of made me step back and go, interesting. So I can totally see how, regardless of the timing, that was a really important shift. And it was probably, you know, meant to happen for other reasons or whatever, but seeing how the pandemic either encouraged it or sped it up or things of that nature, I think was really, really interesting looking back on it.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
As we explore this conversation, is there anything that we should give a little more time and care to explaining before moving on?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I can do a little bit of a speed run TED talk of the community if you think that might be helpful for who's ever listening.
If you feel up to it, I think that could be incredibly helpful, but also I don't want to put you on the spot.
Oh, no worries. I'd be more than happy to. So, yeah. So if we're talking about, like, you know, the LGBTQ acronym, there's usually the IA there that gets added on the end in various versions of it. And the A stands for agender, but as well as asexual and aromantic. And one of the helpful things to keep in mind when we're thinking about this is there's this idea of the split attraction model, and understanding that like romantic attraction and sexual attraction are two different things. And for a lot of people, they feel the same. So like somebody who might consider themselves straight might feel both romantic and sexual attraction to people of the opposite gender. But for other people, they can feel really different. And so asexual and aromantic are umbrella terms that have a whole host of different identities and micro labels under them. But essentially, someone who is asexual feels little to no sexual attraction to other people. And then someone who is aromantic feels little to no romantic attraction to other people, or in order to feel those emotions, they have to be like under a specific set of conditions. And they can come together in a whole host of different ways. So some people are aromantic, but they're allosexual, which is the terms that we use for somebody who feels sexual attraction. So they might not feel romantically attracted to people, but still want to have sexual relationships with them. There's a lot more nuance and depth in the community that I can go into, but I think that's kind of the like high level tip of the iceberg explanation I can give.
And I think that you worded it so well in the fact that there are different combinations, and people obviously are unique and have their own ways of feeling, thinking, experiencing. So there are multiple combinations of using these terms for a single person or a situation. And I really like how you said that.
Yeah, I think being both like a poet as well, you know, I think you really learn to like appreciate and value language. And I think, you know, when we're talking about identities and how people understand ourselves, then you become to realize, you know, how important language is for people, and then how unimportant it is for other people, and learning to understand like how it shifts and people can define it differently based on their own lived experience.
I couldn't agree more, and I think that it's just another reminder that we need art in the world to explore everything that comes our way, both individually and as a global community.
Oh, for sure. Representation is so important, right? Like, you can't even start to think about something if you don't even know it exists to begin with.
Exactly. Or if you don't know how to approach it. And again, I think art can make that happen as well.
Definitely.
Alrighty. I think this is a good spot to pause, but we will be right back to continue this conversation. See you guys in just a minute.
Hey, my name is Skylar, and I love the Learning to Fly podcast. I was recently a guest on it, so make sure you listen to that episode. In the meantime, go check out my newest book, The Scent of Closure. You can view both my books on Amazon, and I can't wait for y'all to read it.
Hi, my name is Margaret.
And I'm Tiara.
And we have a little shop called The Little Sappy Shop.
You can find us both on Instagram, Etsy, and TikTok.
And please continue to follow the Learn to Fly podcast by Sincerely Blue Jay. It's nothing but fun, laughter, and nonsense.
Alrighty, so as we come back, Mads has a poem that they are willing to share, and I'm super excited for. So off to you, my dear.
So, so this is a poem that I wrote that kind of deals with much in the same way that we talk about the idea of like internalized homophobia, you know, like the ways that it gets kind of pushed inside of us, dealing kind of with internalized aerophobia and acephobia and trying to wrap my head around the idea that my life's going to look a little bit different from other people's. So this is called The Closet. I moved back in with my parents. My brother's new table watches me from the window. There are 8 seats, one for my mom, one for my dad, and 3 for my sibling. The other 3 for the spouses we will one day have, because that's how we talk about the future in this house. Is the future I'm supposed to want, not this arrow ace imagining of the world they can't understand. I've gotten so good at lying and smiling through false teeth. The closet is a groom and a wedding, with the appropriate and respectable number of children. The closet is dinner with the queen, where I use every fork only for the exact purpose, where I don't comment on how we're really made to eat all this with our hands. The closet is the ISS, and isn't being so far away from Earth beautiful? Isn't it seeing it out your window okay? Because at least then you know it's still there, even as it goes on without you. The closet is an Iron Maiden, and I figured out just how to stand so the nails don't dig in. Don't tell me now I need to leave. Don't tell me I have to move when I know how much it's going to hurt. The closet is safe. The only monsters in here are mine. The only skeleton slumbers in my body, but I keep hearing the rattle of bones. The closet is a sitcom set. It's all just construction. Some framing and drywall, it isn't real. Not really. But if you get the camera on it in just the right light, you'll capture the cage in its entirety. The closet is the near empty milk carton in the fridge, is looking at your daughter and knowing what to expect only to find disappointment within. The closet is clenched fists that never break anything, is I pledge my allegiance to the promise of being who you wanted me to be. The closet is my parents' belief that they built a safe enough space that if their children were queer, they would have come out already. Is that unshaky foundation, that blasphemous lie, the closet is a fire with no oxygen, which is to say that it doesn't burn. I promise this doesn't hurt at all. The closet is a phone booth where you don't need one, is a telephone call ruining a good movie, is a pitcher of water hiding a stain on a good tablecloth, is driving blindfolded so you can't see the light. Plugging your ears so you can't hear the sirens. The closet is killing me slowly. The closet is I get to keep my family, as I don't have to shatter this. Not yet. The closet is I did come out to you. I gave you my identity, and in response we agreed to never talk about it. Sign on the dotted line. The closet is my mother asks if the black ring on my middle finger has any meaning. Is looking at 8 chairs for a family of 5 and choosing to learn. The closet is taking off your ring. Is Peter claiming not to know Jesus before the rooster crows, is lying about what you are bringing across the border. The closet is ordering this black piece of silicone at night and believing it will make the closet disappear, allowing me to pull a reverse Frodo. Make me sane, make me visible. The closet is, can I ever really get out of here if I'm not okay with this? the closet is, can I ever really get out of here? If you're not okay with this, the closet is every time I lie, something inside me dies. And I don't know how many petals I have left. This ring was supposed to be a promise to something better, to not breaking myself anymore. It was supposed to be a key to the closet door. Instead, I have made it a chastity belt on my identity. Who did I think I was trying to be? These four walls are home, are safe, are all you will ever get to be.
Wow. I know that doesn't help, but wow. One thing I have to say from a poetic perspective before we dive into the meat of this, I love the connections to the Queen and Frodo and some of these other characters or real life figures that we all know so deeply, but would probably never have considered in this context. And I just had to say that that was really well done.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. And as for the subject, I think the line that really, like, hit home to me in terms of what our conversation today is, and I'm gonna not get it word for word, but the I did come out to you, and in response, we agreed never to speak again, like, of this topic. I think that that really cemented the uncertainty that people have when they don't recognize a term or don't recognize a way of being. And feel free to correct me or elaborate or whatever feels best, because I'm sure I botched that line.
No, you were pretty close. Yes, the closet is I did come out to you. I gave you my identity in response. We agreed to never talk about it. Sign on the dotted line. And, you know, for me, like, writing that line was, I've had a conversation with my family about being someone who, like, is aromantic and asexual and not at all interested in dating and having that be my future. And then still having, you know, I think we make a lot of these throwaway comments around people that we don't realize or think about. My family gets very frustrated at me because I'm very cynical when it comes to relationships. And for me, it's just a lot of things that I don't understand where I'm like, why would I ever want to share my bed with somebody? Like, that just seems so uncomfortable. I don't get it. But I think a lot of what I was trying to war with in this piece was this idea of feeling like you're out about your identity, but also because people don't understand it, feeling like you're hiding something even when you don't mean to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, having that conversation with my family, a lot of it was, you know, my dad even said to me at one point, like, well, because it was over the phone, I was like, said, well, I hope if you were coming out to me, then you would do it in person. And, like, trying to explain to him, like, no, this is a queer identity, like, this is a different idea of my future, this is going to impact who I am and how I see the world moving forward. And also that's just a really emotional, hard conversation to have.
Exactly.
Having to do, like, the TED talk beforehand to be like, here is the definition of this term and what it means. And also I'm slightly panicking about saying this inside.
Right. I think that we kind of, for the community as a whole, the queer community or the I think we'll leave it at that. As a whole, everybody's like, oh, it's no big deal to just be yourself, but it really can be, depending on, you know, how you were raised or if your family is religious or different things like that. And so many people, I think, take that for granted. So when we do share the real or the more difficult stories, people don't register how much strength that takes, how much practice it probably takes, or how much of a self-awareness it takes. And I think your poem addresses that beautifully. But also I think the way that you're talking now with us re-emphasizes that.
Yeah, for sure. And like we were talking about earlier, you know, I think that idea with representation, especially in art, you know, we're really lucky that there's a lot more like queer stories out there and TV shows and books and things. So I think some identities are becoming things that people are a lot more familiar with. And, you know, my parents are very accepting. I have a lot of queer friends. We have a lot of queer friends and things like that. And they're very good to try and to learn and engage with some of that. But I think still the window that we're getting into that world and the diversity of different experiences within the queer community is still limited. And I think, you know, not only aromantic and asexual representation is missing, you know, I think about like intersex communities or, you know, non-binary characters, and that there's still, I think, a lot of work that would go a long way to making some of those conversations that people are having with their families easier, because sometimes it can be hard to talk about yourself, and it can be a little bit easier to be like, point to something and be like that is me.
Exactly. Not quite to the same token, but I remember at work a few days ago, we were talking about Demi Lovato. And I don't know if anybody, I didn't keep up with this, but it came up, and so I did some research. And I guess lately, she has been changing her, like, she had asked everybody to refer to her as a they, them, and, like, it changed, she was thinking about changing her name, but she didn't want to because of the success of some project. And then, all of a sudden, their profile was she, her, they, them, something else. And it literally said something else, and everybody was very confused. And it was a much bigger deal than it needed to be. But I think that having an understanding is also a community that's willing to be fluid with you. Should you realize maybe, oh, I hadn't explored deep enough, or, oh, things changed due to circumstance and happenstance and all of those as well. And again, being able to point to that and say, well, other people realize, why can't I? Or using that as a marker as well in its own way.
Exactly.
And I'm sorry if I botched the story, guys. Like I said, not something I knew a whole ton about, did like a late night deep dive because I was like, what are my coworkers on about?
Yeah, no, and I think that's I've had a couple instances where between Demi Lovato and then Ezra Miller, who is a mess currently, doing a lot of not great criminal things, but both like people in the public eye that use they, them pronouns or some form of a different pronoun that people aren't comfortable with, and, you know, having conversations with people and then quietly having to be the person to pipe up and be like, actually, this is the pronouns that they use. And, you know, sometimes it works as a learning opportunity and sometimes it doesn't, but it does prevent an opportunity to at least try and have those conversations.
Very, very true. I would love to carry on this conversation in a future episode. However, we are running out of time for today. So something that we totally forgot about, where can we support you? Where can we read more of your work or have some more conversations along these lines? Like, where can we find you?
Yeah, so my Instagram handle is sleepcreatecaffeinate. And I also do have a YouTube channel where I talk about... I just dropped something. I do also have a YouTube channel where I talk a lot about... book related stuff, but I do also talk a lot about representation in literature, especially related to the asexual and aromantic community. People are welcome to come find me there and reach out if they have questions or if they want to talk about things. Like I said, I'm a bit of an open book, so I'm more than happy to chat with people about things.
And then there's a tradition on the Learning to Fly podcast. We have a random question for you. Today's is going to be short and sweet because we're running a little long, but if you had to say you collect one thing, what do you collect?
Oh my, that is a good question because I collect a lot of things. I think the first one that comes to mind is beer bottle caps.
Okay.
And it's a weird thing because I started doing it as a kid. Like, I would just go around at parties and pick up the tops of beer bottle caps, and I just have this old Planters peanut container in my room that I just has a little hole in the top, and every time I get one, I just fill it up.
I love that answer, and thank you so much for your time. I hope people will go check out your platforms, and I hope that we'll have you again soon. And
yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Excellent. Thank you. And of course, to everybody listening, thanks so much for tuning in to the Learning to Fly podcast. As always, I love you guys, and I'll see you again tomorrow with more shenanigans. Have a fantastic day.